Well, we greet you in Jesus' name. It's so nice to see all these smiling faces, most of them smiling. A few more smiling. Good. How many of you hope that you never, ever have to live in a city? I just hope I never have to live in a city. Well, we're going to pray for you guys because Revelation tells us that all of God's people will come and live in a city someday. And so those of you who are just hoping you don't, all right, Lord have mercy. I understand that there's a difference between our cities here on this earth and the city that will be there, a glorious city that will be mighty and powerful and all the rest of that. You know, it is very, very important how we raise our children, because the first impressions that children have of church, the first impressions children have of missions, that carries with them. And so my very first experience of going to church was going into Lancaster City. My parents lived just outside the city, and we went into Laurel Street. And so that's what I remember. Summer Bible school was with lots and lots of city children, and Sunday school was with lots of city children, and we did, you know, door-to-door tract distribution, but it was in the cities. And most of my siblings are now in the cities somewhere in America. And so think about that as you're raising your children. What are you training them? What are you teaching them? It's very, very important. All right, so I'd like to just start off a little bit with some of the issues of city living. And we don't have it. Okay. Angels we have heard on high. Does anybody mind if I mark this one up? Okay, so I want you to put it, have lots of imagination here, right? So you're going to imagine that this thing is working.
Whoops, I'm sorry.
Okay, that's, oh, plug it in. Isn't that interesting? Okay. Now, are those erasable so I can redeem myself at the end here if I mark this up? Watercolor, okay. Markers, non-certified, instant. Yeah. This will work. Maybe. What? Okay. This is a dry erase one. It's all dry. There's three things that happen in the cities. Not with this one. Okay. In the 1950s, how many of you do not remember the 50s? Okay. So way back before most of us were born, the federal government did three things that changed the cities of America forever. And one was the interstate system, the Eisenhower Interstate System. Who owns the Eisenhower Interstate System? You know that one? You go from here to California, you hop on I-80 or down to Virginia, I-81, right? The Defense Department owns that. That was a response of World War II. They said, we need to, if we're attacked again on the West Coast, we need to be able to move things quickly from the East Coast to the West Coast. So thank you. And so these interstates covered America for the purpose of taking armaments from one place to another across America. And if there's a national state of war, no civilian may be on the interstates. They shut down. They're just for the Defense Department. That's who owns them, the Defense Department. And so, but we're not at war. And we don't need these Defense Department roads. And so people can get on them. And it was discovered that you can live 10 miles outside the city, and you can be in at work in 15 minutes. And so what happened was, you had these cities who all of a sudden had people saying, I'm not living in the city anymore. I'm going to just go out and live here close to this interstate exit.
and I'll be able to get back into the city really fast. And so now we started developing cities that had daisies. The suburbs, the suburban area sprang up because of the interstates, because transportation was really, really quick and easy, and you could get there fast. And so York City, for instance, used to have 60,000 people. Today, there's less than 43,000 people who actually live in the city. Now, they live in these suburbs. All around here, we probably have 120,000 people. So it's a growing, and most of you would come to York, and as soon as you hit here, you'd say, I'm in the city. You're not. You're in West York, or you're in Springsbury Township, or Spring Garden Township, or one of those other places, but you're not really in York proper. That make sense? Didn't lose anybody on that one? Well, the other thing that happened in the 1950s was the Department of Housing said, this is not right that we have these cities where we're so segregated. We have the Jewish people living together, and we have the blacks living together, and we have the Italians living together. And so we need to figure a way to get along with each other. And so the way to do that is we're going to have forced integration. And so they went in there, and they tore down the slums. And they built housing, special government housing, all over the city. And so York had a little Mennonite church in the slums. It was called the Princess Street Mennonite Mission. And they tore all the slums down, including the building where the Princess Street Mennonite Mission was. And they built these high-rises for senior citizens. And they dispersed all the people who were in the slums to live other places across the city. Well, in the 50s, and even today, there was a bit of prejudice. I don't want to live beside people who don't look like me, or talk like me, or speak like me, or eat the same kind of foods as me. And so they moved out of the city. Again, another thing that happened with the government, all good things come from Washington, right? Not necessarily. Another thing that happened was Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac and cheap insurance or interest rates. And so in the 90s and 2000s, we had in York County 50,000 new houses built and 40,000 new households started. You see the glut? 10,000 more houses around than there were households. And so the people who lived in $250,000 houses moved out a little further to the $1 million houses, and the folks who were living in the $40,000 in the city moved out to the $250,000 houses. And so when I first moved into York in it was way back in 1985, we moved into the city, and we had, our church was on the first floor. And then on the second floor, we had two apartments, and the third floor, we had an apartment. And you could put out a apartment for rent sign, and that afternoon, it would be rented. As a matter of fact, we put the rent up, and it would still be rented, right? One afternoon, one person left, you'd rent it right away. After that housing boom, where you have 10,000 more houses than you have people in York County, we put out a for rent sign for the third floor, and we had already eliminated the two on the second floor. They became Sunday school rooms, and so that helped the glut, right? But we put out a for rent sign, and people would call and say, third floor? No, I'll keep looking. Third floor? After a bit, we lowered the rent. We still couldn't rent it. That sat empty for a whole year before we could rent it at about half what we were getting before. And so the house that I first bought, I bought for $15,000. The one that the guy's house there beside the school, we bought for $10,000. Another one for the girls, we bought for $6,000. And so this glut was happening all over. The one city on the East Coast that was exempt was New York City. What would be the reason New York City was not hitting the same kind of mushrooming in Exodus? Any ideas? Well, there's more people who wanted to live there, right? That's sort of a hub and cultural and business and things like that. But they weren't surrounded by farmland. They're surrounded by ocean. And so if you're either in New York City or you're not in New York, you can't easily go out of New York City. It's an island. But here, you could you can go out to the farmland. We don't need cows and pigs anyhow, right? And so we just, nice crop of fat houses keep coming up. You have that same thing up here, right? New house cropping up all the time. Well, this becomes a problem where you used to have 60,000 people paying taxes. Now you have 40,000 people paying taxes. So the more people move out, the higher the property tax goes in the city. The higher the property tax goes, the more people go out. The higher that, the more people go out, the more people go out. It's a never-ending cycle. And so right now, I'm paying $500 a month in property tax. That might not seem much for you. Is that much for you? I don't know. $6,000 a year for a $60,000 house, half acre there in the city. And I think it's exorbitant. It's way too much. As a matter of fact, I could move out of the city and pay less property tax in York County. And so that becomes a problem. So how does the light of Jesus shine in that kind of an environment? Where the city fathers, that's not a politically correct term anymore. Does everybody know what I'm talking about? The people in charge of the city? Okay. You were born before the 60s, so you understand. Okay. The folks who run the city, the elected officials. We have a city mother in charge right now. But anyhow, they're wringing their hands all the time saying, what do we do? How do we do? 25% of the property in York City is tax exempt. Now, do they like the church? Because our church is tax exempt. Our school is tax exempt. We don't have to pay property tax. 25%, hospital, the library, a lot of those places. And so they want to figure out a way to get tax monies from us. Well, on the other hand, our Thursday night Bible school, we had one of the children who comes to Thursday night Bible school, he said, you know what, I don't shoplift anymore since I started coming to your church here. Now, does the city fathers like that idea? Yeah, they're in favor of us being there. I was at a seminar one time, and the speaker said, if you want to follow the Bible. The Bible says you want to be great in God's kingdom. Learn to be servant of all. Well, how do you serve all when there's 40,000 people? Is it possible to go and serve all the people, 40,000 people? Well, he suggested the way to do that is you serve the mayor. If you can serve the mayor, who's in charge of all, then you have served all. And so I contacted Mr. Brenner, and I said, we as a church would like to serve you. What can we do to serve you so that we can serve the whole city? Is there any project you wish the church would help you out with? And he said, well, I don't have anything in mind right now, but call the Parks Department. And he gave me the name of the head of the Parks Department, and he gave me a woman underneath him. Excuse me. And she said, well, yeah, we have this fence that needs painted in the park. And we'll give you the paint, you paint the fence. So we did that, and she said, that's a good idea, it worked. What else can we do? Well, paint the pillars in the park, the pavilion, it gets graffiti, so cover up the graffiti. So we did that. What else can we do? Well, there's this railroad bed, it's all full of trash. Could you go clean up the trash? Sure, we'll clean up the trash. So that developed the trash-a-thon. How many of you have helped in our trash-a-thon? Nobody ever came for our trash-a-thon? Oh, no. Well, okay. What's the date? the fourth Saturday in September. Put it down. And we'd love to have you come out and help us out. Last year, we had about 150 people, and they came for 3 hours on Saturday morning, fourth Saturday in September, and we picked up 25 tons of trash in the city. Back alleys, the streets, the abandoned properties, 25 tons of trash in 3 hours' time. And we want to do more this year. But you know what? We've been doing that for about 20 years now, and it's harder and harder to find trash. Harder and harder to find trash. You've picked up 25 tons of trash. What do you mean? How's it possible? when we started, there were acres of abandoned properties that were just full of trash. You know, people, when you start, a trash pile comes, and other people just pile it on. And so we could just go and just to spend all day on just that one place. Those don't exist anymore. So in order to get 25 tons, you have to cover the whole city. So is that what the Bible says? In order to serve, learn to be served, serve all. And so that's one area, one ministry that we're going out there to reach out to. I think it was something else that I was going to show you, but I forget. Geniuses forget things quickly. But they, one day, we moved into the city. We lived in one of the apartments above the church. And my wife was teaching at Ephrata Mennonite. I was teaching at Mount Hope, living in the city, driving back here in Lancaster County, not here, down there. And we were just sort of in our living room, doing our grades for the day. And I heard these steps coming up, the footsteps coming up. The door had closed at the bottom of the steps, and they came back our hall. And all of a sudden, I heard them running, and the door slamming at the bottom of the steps. And so I thought, that's interesting. So I wanted to go investigate. And do you know there's lots of people get shot when they go investigate those kind of things? And so I didn't know that yet. So I went to investigate, and I was young and naive. And I went down the steps, and there in the church was Ivan and Arlene were having Bible study with two ladies. And I went in, and they said, oh, Clayton, we're glad to see you. Did you see so-and-so? I said, no, I didn't see him. He said, well, he came in here, and he asked where you are, and we told him you live upstairs. He said, okay, I'm going to go kill Clayton. Ever since his girlfriend became a Christian, he said, she won't go back to bed with me. I'm going to kill him. And we wished we wouldn't have told where he lived, because we heard him go upstairs, and we started praying. You know what I think? I think as soon as he got back the hall, he saw the guardian angel. He said, ooh, ooh. He's out the door, running down the steps, slamming the door behind him. And I say, praise the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? Well, I was telling the school board, I think we ought to put up security cameras. Oh, what do you mean? Who are you trusting in? Are you trusting in God, or are you trusting in security cameras? I don't think we should have security cameras. I said, well, you know, make my job as a principal a lot easier. Security cameras don't lie. Children do. A lot of school students come along, and what happened? Well, you know, it's very common that one or both parties forget what happened, and so they have to make things up. And but security cameras can just tell you. You look at it and say, oh, I see what really happened. And no security cameras, no security cameras. Well, I took a year sabbatical in 2008, and the man who filled in for me was accused of inappropriate touch with one of the students, and next school board meeting they said, yeah, let's put up some security cameras so we could have seen that and would have replayed that. And so October a year ago, we were just ready to schedule it for a district meeting at our church, and about 5 o'clock, the houses right beside the church caught on fire. There was four houses that were consumed with that fire, or touched, not all consumed. So I was curious if these security cameras had seen anything, because the next morning they said it was arson. And so I went and played the security cameras back, and you could see three juveniles going into the next door neighbor's house where the fire started and then leaving. And just 5 minutes later, the fire trucks arrive. And so I called the police detective. I said, I have some interesting footage on my security cameras. Maybe you want to come and look at this. And they came over and they said, yeah, we're very interested. Can we take that on a thumb drive? And we gave it to them. And, well, here they put it out on the news media. If you know anything about these three guys, well, it's a picture of the back houses where our teachers live. And it's very obvious whose security camera that is, and who's helping the police, who's squealing on us, right? So that was Wednesday night. It got out into Thursday afternoon, out into the news. Well, Thursday evening, we have our children's ministry, and the children were there, and one of the boys was not acting very appropriately that night, and so they decided to walk him home. And they delivered him to the house, and male and female staff coming back, and they met three guys perpendicularly walking, and they went out about 20 feet beyond them. They turned around and started shooting at these two staff members. Matter of fact, two bullets went through her dress. She has holes in her dress now. But isn't it wonderful? God protects. Yo, shoot the dress. Who cares? But didn't touch her. And so God is wonderful. And I was the next week I was in prison. And they walked into the prison. They said, oh, you're the guys on Poplar Street had the fire, right? I said, yeah. Yeah, we saw that on the news. That was your security cameras, wasn't it? I said, yeah. And the one guy said, "That my brother owned one of those houses, and so thank you. But the other guys are like, oh, you should have never done that. You should have never called the police. I said, well, do you think we should have done instead? Well, you should have talked to the guys. You should have gone to those three guys and confronted them. I said, I didn't know who they were. I mean, it was on the cameras. I didn't know who they were. I said, you don't think I should have called the police? No. And I told them this story about the getting shot at. And they said, oh, you're done. Just leave. Leave the city. You're done for. And I said, but why? Greater is he that is in me than he in the world. We're not running. We're not fleeing. Why would we run? Right? And so one six-month period, we had 28 gun incidences in our block. One day I come into school, and I come in the back door of the gym, and my teachers come running out into the gym. They said, they're shooting at us. And there's four bullet holes in the front window. But we're safe. Here we are. Now, why am I telling you this? You're all afraid of coming to the city anyhow. How am I ever going to convince you to come visit us? Trash-a-thon. What week is the trash-a-thon? Fourth Saturday in September. It's daylight. They don't shoot in the daylight. Yeah, they do. But anyhow. But God protects. That's what I'm here to tell you about. It's a marvelous place to be in the city. There's lots and lots of people. Do I ever get discouraged and disappointed and distressed? I sure do. But I'm not here to tell you about those stories because that would make me look like a wimp. So I'm just going to tell you the happiest stories. I'm going to tell you the ones that really excite you, the ones that say, wow, isn't he a good missionary? That's not right. So God is good. Now, I want to time this right. I have a DVD. Is this ready to go? And so all I have to do... this microphone.
World full of pain. Eight murders. Assaults. 938 thefts. 15 arsons. In the midst of this darkness, a light is shining brightly. Tidings of Peace Christian School.
Welcome to Tidings of Peace. We're glad you've come. We're glad you're listening. Tidings of Peace is in its 22nd year, and we are excited about all that God has done for us. We started with 5 students in 95, and we have 48 students this year. We're bringing peace to the city of York by bringing peace to the children's hearts. We love children. We recognize that there's an eternity, and they're going to spend eternity in either heaven or hell. And this one small ministry where we can talk to students and have daily devotions and encourage them to forgive the past and to press forward to the mark of Jesus Christ, that's exciting. It's exciting when children give their hearts to God, and it's exciting to see them making decisions and ideas that are going to last for eternity. But you know, we can't do it ourselves. We're very grateful for the dozen missionaries who are helping us this year, but it takes hundreds of supporters, those who give to keep the lights going, to buy the curriculum, to do the field trips, to give the children experiences beyond themselves. And we are so grateful for everyone who has contributed to help us in this ministry. It's not helping us, it's helping God. So God bless you for coming. God bless you for listening.
Here are a few people we are pressing towards the mark together with.
My name is Joel Angle. My son's name is Cody Angle. He's been attending Titans of Peace School now. This will be his second year.
Hi, my name is Isaiah Vega. I have a daughter that attends here. Her name is Yacieli Vega. She's been here for kindergarten, and now she's present at first grade.
My name is Michael Rickenbacker. I'm 18 years old, and I've been coming to the school for about like 3 years.
Hello, my name is Maricela Sixtos. I have been attending this school since first grade, and I am a senior this year.
Found out about the school when his older sister, Sierra, came here. She was having problems in city schools. We didn't like the culture that was going on in the city schools. It was too big of a classroom. She wasn't getting her enough attention, and a lot of bullying going on. So we were looking for something a little more smaller, personal, and something where she could learn about God. And that's where Sierra attended Tidings of Peace. And with that in mind, Cody, well, he was born with a tetralogy of Fallot and had an open heart surgery at 1 month old. We knew right then and there, well, there's no way he's going to the city school with the experience that Sierra had. And Tidings of Peace was just the most logical choice for Cody to come to. And thank God that Brother Clayton found an opening to get Cody in here, and he loves it. He's happy. He always talks about Miss Marley and what fun he has, and he's always singing, "Jesus loves the little children of the world." And I say, well, what about the adults? And the school has helped us by when he comes home doing his little projects, and he talks about Jesus. And when he first came here, the big story was Mount Vesuvius. That was the real big one. And it gets his interest in the volcanoes and other things. So it helps him learn in other areas in 1, 2, 3s and ABCs. So it's a lot of help that way. And we get interactive with all his little new teachings and wants to learn about more and more. And that's always a great thing. Drawing closer to God. I've always been a firm believer in God, and Cody, if he does something wrong, he worries that he's a sinner. And that's a good thing, because it keeps him from not wanting to do bad and always wanting to try to do better. That is a good thing here. I hope Cody keeps growing the way he is and keeps that what if going on. It's always what if. I hope he keeps that, because he's always wanting to learn when he does that. And I hope he does learn about God and Jesus and walks the right path of life.
One thing I do appreciate about the school is how the teachers and everybody involved is under the same, I guess, idea and ways of teaching your child about education and God. Personally, it has helped me because it's a good price, 10 hours of community service to help, you know, that way you can help the community and help yourself out. We all appreciate that. So yeah, I was here for family fun night, and I brought my kids, and they really enjoyed it. That's one thing, that's one way of keeping the students, the teachers, and the parents together. One way the school have drawn us closer to God is, which I believe is one of the most important ways, which is by example, a good Christian example, and we follow that, and it's pretty admirable.
I found out this school from online from my mother. She went over here to start taking a test, and mostly like a few days later, here I am. The school has helped me in many ways, either it's from academically or physically. At first, I used to be mostly like a not athletic guy. I barely wanted to run when I was in school. But now I play in track, basketball, and I'm starting with acting now. It really is something that's good for everyone.
What I appreciate about the school is the teachers. They're kind and care about every single student. And that is a good thing. And it makes us feel, well, for me, it makes me feel cared about. The school has helped me to become closer to God. I understand a lot more about God in a way, and yeah, I appreciate everything the school has taught me. I'm really gonna miss it.
We are so excited about what God has done and what God is going to do in the future. We recognize that there's great things in the past, and yet we don't rest on our laurels. We keep pressing forward, pressing on. We know that God has more in store, and we're so grateful that you're joining us and you're being with us, and that this ministry is not just us. It's you and God and all working together. The future looks bright. The future looks exciting. And with God's help, we will do much damage to Satan's kingdom. Much glory to God.
Thank you to all the sponsors. Your help is highly appreciated.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you. We started the school 22 years ago with 5 students. Our current building was more than enough space for us. Now that our student body is almost 10 times its original size, it is time for something bigger. Our school board has made an offer to the York City School Board for this 4-acre plot of land, including the Theodore Roosevelt School Building and a large shop. Parking lot will be a huge improvement from our current drop-off location in the back alley. The abundance of grass, as well as the neighboring park, will be a tremendous upgrade from our current recess location in the circle. Although the York City School Board likes our offer, a few legal steps are still required before they can sell it to us. Please pray this process will not take long.
So one of the reasons I didn't get here by 7:15 is that the building committee was meeting there this afternoon, and I was up on that roof looking at that, and we're planning the next steps. And so what since this video was made, York City has gotten back to us and said, we like your offer, but we can't sell you the whole property. So they're going to divide it in half right through the parking lot, and we're going to basically get that, what you see right now. They're going to keep most of the property and the maintenance shed, and so we'll get 1.6 acres. We're going to have grass. Right now, our whole property is from the street sidewalk to the back alley, and there's no place like that. And 10 rooms, classrooms. Right now, we have 7 classrooms. So there'll be actually a music room and a discovery room, and everybody has lots of room instead of the cramped quarters that many of us share. But also, there'll be a gym down in the basement, that, like right behind that truck, there's is
that goes down about 8 feet into the ground in the basement. And so there's a gym that actually is about 15 feet high, and you can actually shoot a basketball and it really neat and play volleyball. Now, as I was looking at that, Michael Reckenbacher, he was one of the students who did not graduate this. He was a senior. But one of our goals in getting a new building is to implement a motto, every student with a marketable skill. And so when we discovered that he's not going to make it, we do individualized curriculum, and so if you're not moving fast enough, you're not going to graduate. And when we discovered he's not going to do it, we shifted him over to the restaurant management program, where he helped make lunch every day, and then he took his safe serve test. And so he now has a certificate to go to a restaurant and say, yes, I have a safe serve, I have a marketable skill. Unfortunately, we don't win them all. It'd be really nice. The second year that we had school, Jeannie, who lived right next door to us, she came and said, I want to come to your school, but my mom can't afford tuition. Is there any way possible I can come? I'll be the janitor, I'll sweep the sidewalks, I'll clean the building, just let me come to your school. Now, Jeannie was the fourth of nine children. Anyhow, there was nine siblings in the household to four different men. She was the first one to graduate from school. And she said, I want something different than what my mom had. And she graduated from our school, lived with John and Melanie Bredeman for a time, and went to Chile as a missionary. She and her husband now raising their children in Chambersburg and pastoring a church out in Chambersburg. We like those kind of victory stories. We like Keyshawn Washington. Any of you know Keyshawn? Big Keyshawn, all right? So Keyshawn just graduated from Faith Builders. My son Austin had Bible study with him, and he gave his heart to the Lord. He joined the church. He really wanted to come to our school. His mom said, no, I want you to stay in public school, get a football scholarship, go to college, play football, and that's what you have to do. And so he needs to respect mom, and he stayed. But eventually God allowed him to have a shoulder injury where he couldn't play football anymore, and because of some domestic issues with Pop and Mom, he left the home and came live with us for a while. And she said, okay, now you can go to school there. Well, he graduated from Tidings of Peace, graduated from Faith Boys, planning to come back next year, doing some tremendous, tremendous growth in his spiritual life. That's exciting. Those kind of stories we like to talk about. But unfortunately, Maricela was also in there. Maricela was with us since she was a kindergartner, right? She came, maybe first grade. I don't think we had kindergarten that year, but first grade. And here she was with us for 12 years. She heard the gospel. She heard the chapel. She knew what was right. But she got discouraged here in her 12th year and said, I don't think there's any way I can possibly graduate this year. We thought she could. She'd have to work at it, but she didn't think she could. She gave up, took off with her boyfriend and lives in Texas now. Jay Marie, you saw Jay Marie. She was the young lady with the covering on. She since has abandoned Christianity altogether. Bitterness has taken over her heart, and she's not even sure there's a God. Not quite ready to say I'm an atheist, but she's really, really leaning that hard that way. And I'm like, so discouraged. I told you some days there's discouragement, right? And so when Jay Marie accuses you of being a liar and a thief and by it being somebody who just is so blinded to the truth and you're Christian because that's all you ever knew, and how did I fail in showing her God's love, right? So it's discouraging right now with her not wanting to follow God. But then there's other ones that can be very, very helpful with, and that's Jeremy. Jeremy told me, he said, I can tell you this story. But Jeremy would come to school day after day after day without his dress shoes. You're supposed to wear dress shoes to school. You can wear sneakers for gym or for field trips, but not for your classroom. You have to have dress shoes on. Jeremy, where's your dress shoes? Well, they're at home. Where do you know where they're at home? Because sometimes they're home, they don't know where they're at, they think. At least that's what they tell us. And so, yes, I know where they're at. I said, okay, get in the car. So I took him home. He got his dress shoes. He come back. I said, Jeremy, you're a Christian, right? Yep. Do you want to do everything that Jesus wants you to do? Not really. But you're a Christian. Yeah. And you don't want to do what Jesus wants? No. And you're going to heaven? Yep. I said, somebody lied to you. You can't have that attitude and go to heaven. Oh, yeah. He said, I can. Let's have a Bible study. I'll be happy to show it to you in the Bible. I said, okay, good. So we went to the back office, and he showed me John 3:16. For God so loved the world, whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:36. If you believe, you have passed from death unto life. He said, I believe, and I have life. I have eternal life. I said, Jeremy, is it possible that anyone who believes has eternal life? He said, that's right. Anyone. Yep. Anyone at all. That's right. All you have to do is believe. That's right. I said, let's turn to James. Go to James. I said, the devils believe and tremble. The devils believe in God. Are they Christians?
Well, no. But they believe. Well, okay, let's go over to Revelation. Revelation says, Revelation 3:10, he that overcomes will have white robes and will not have his name blotted out of the book of life. Jeremy, what happens if you don't overcome? Do you get a white robe? He said, no, I guess not. Does your name stay in the book of life? He said, no, I guess not. Is this good to Galatians? Galatians talks about in 5, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these, adultery, fornication, and uncleanness, lasciviousness. And I tell you, those who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, can you believe and do these things and go to heaven? He said, no, I guess not. I said, Jeremy, are you married to Jesus? He said, no. I said, that's the difference between you and me. I'm married to Jesus. Romans chapter 7, we went there. Look at Romans chapter 7. I said, I'm married to Jesus, therefore I want to do everything he wants me to do. And you ought to be married to Jesus. Would you like to be married to Jesus? And he said, yes. I'm really making this short, right? This took a lot longer than this. But he prayed a beautiful prayer. God, forgive me my sins. And yes, I want to be married to you. I want you to be my spouse. I want you to tell me everything you do. A beautiful change happened in his life. It was just marvelous, night to day. And it was just night to day. Yeah, beautiful. And, you know, those kind of stories keep us going. We have at our house cafe twice a month where anybody can come. And a lot of times all of our high schoolers are there. It's for teenagers and older. And so here's all of our teenagers from school. Now, how many of you went to your principal's house every twice a month for social activities? All right, it doesn't always happen very well. But, you know, they come to our house, and we have free food, and that helps a lot to get people to come, teenagers especially. And so they're there, and they're having fellowship. Well, I discovered, it came to my attention, that they were down in the basement socializing, but really doing some ungodly things, posting videos that they were taking in my basement and putting them on YouTube. It was a YouTube channel. And so I brought this, I called these guys in, high schooler boys, and I said, you know, I do you a lot of good, don't I? Yeah, they all, yeah, Brother Clay, yeah. And yet, you post these things? Is this really glorifying to God? Well, it's so marvelous the way God convicted them and how they repented of that. And they said, oh, we'll take them down. Will you please? And one of them said, I want to confess to the whole student body that I was wrong. And stood up before everybody and said, please forgive me. I did a bad example. I was not a good model for you on how to do Christian life. And so there's some things that keep us going and keep us excited. And God is good and God is great. Yes, there's days of discouragement. There's days when I was lambasted. You're a horrible principal. I thought that too when I was in high school. And then so we go on and we don't give up. And God is good. We're right in the process now of saying, where can we plant another church? God has blessed the church. You had 173. Wow, we're full at 73. Our auditorium is full. Actually, we've been many Sundays up above 90, and it just really feels cramped. And so we say, where do we go from here? Where can we plant another church? Do we want to put another church in that school when we get to school? Maybe, maybe not. We want to keep the church where it's at. It's been there for 50 years, and so let's keep on moving and having the light there. But maybe Tawnytown, Maryland, we have a family who moves an hour from Come and Drives every Sunday, and they're first-generation Mennonites. They discovered one of their workers was a Mennonite in Hagerstown, Maryland, and introduced them to the Sermon on the Mount and introduced them to biblical concepts they'd never heard of before. And so they began to say, well, where is a church that is biblical and evangelistic? And so they drive an hour and 5 minutes every Sunday to come to Tidings of Peace. And they said, we wish you'd plant a church down in our area. Wouldn't that be wonderful? And so we're looking at that. Where do we go from here? How do we keep advancing the kingdom? And so can somebody turn that clock back a little bit? The process of this new building, it was 4 acres. They subdivided it. That was all approved, government plans. Now they have to go before a judge, and the judge has to say, yes, that's a good offer. We offered them $150,000 for the building and the land, and then we need about $350,000 to remodel, bring it up to ADA, elevator, and office, and all that kind of stuff. So I'm excited for the future. I'm excited what God's going to do. I told the school board, when I get to be 60 years old, I want to turn the school over to somebody else. We're looking for a younger administrator. I don't know what I'm going to do after that, but there's lots and lots of things to do in life yet, right? And so that's coming in 2020. There's 3 more years, and then I get to do something else. Maybe I'll go to Iowa and visit my grandsons out there in Iowa. We don't know exactly what it is, but God is going to raise people up. I do need a kindergarten teacher for this year. I see about one of you that might make it high caliber. See me afterwards, okay? Thank you so much. And you know, when they said thank you for the support, I also recognize that your church has supported us and sponsored over the years, and we really, really appreciate that. And we appreciate your prayers, appreciate all that you have helped us do to advance the kingdom of God there in the city of York. Questions? Let's pray. Dear God, what an amazing thing that you could take somebody as feeble and failure-ridden as me and do anything good. We thank you. We thank you for the ministry. We thank you for the church and the school. We thank you that you have blessed and continue to bless. We pray that you will raise up many, many staff members and others who will see the vision and will assist and sponsors and supporters. Thank you so much, Lord, that you are in it, and it's not by our works, it's not by our faith that these children can be changed and the families can be changed, but you are the one who can give the gift of faith. And so we pray that you open the eyes and you will give and bless hearts and give the gift of faith. And unto you who is able to keep people from falling and present them faultless, we turn over our students to you, and we ask that you would do far above all that we could ask or all that we could think. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Nobody's moving, I get to keep talking? Okay.